Okay, here we are. Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, and we are here, or not, well, I'm not sure where everybody is, but I am in my house, and you are where you are, and this is the United Orthodox Synagogue's weekly Lunch and Learn, and we are unable, unfortunately, to meet in person due to the coronavirus and the precautions we're taking regarding the coronavirus. So we're meeting virtually. Right now, there are 12 people on this call, which is great. We're recording it also, so hopefully we'll be able to share it with more people. I just want to tell you something about the use of Zoom. There is a raise your hand function in Zoom. Right now, everyone's on mute because there's a lot of background noise, but there is a raise your hand function. So if you want to use if you use that function, I will know that you want to say something, and then I'll be able to unmute you, and you'll be able to speak. So hopefully everyone can find the raise your hand function on your screen somewhere. It may be under the area that says participants. If you click on participants, there's a raise your hand function. There's also a way to send a text message to people who are on this call right now. You could either send it to everyone or choose the person that you wish to send it to. So that's just a few things about Zoom. Okay, we are going to start. Okay, hold on one second. Okay, yes, mother, you have a question? Mom, do you have a question? You're unmuted. You should be able to talk. Okay, everyone is muted again. Okay. So this week is Parshat Vayakhel Pekudei. It's a double parsha, and we also, with that, we end. Just going to grab a chumash here for a second. With that, we end the book of Shemot, and we are going to spend our time focusing on the very, very beginning of this double parsha, the first parsha of the double parsha, Vayakhel, and I will show you on the screen. Hopefully, everyone could see what's on the screen as well. I will show you on the screen the pasuk that we are looking at. Just give me one second. I will get you the pasuk that we're looking at right now. Okay, so we are looking for the book of Shemot, chapter Lamed Hey, which is 35. And here we go. I hope everyone sees the pasuk in front of them on their screen. It says, Vayakel Moshe et kol adat bnei Yisrael, Vayomer aleihem ele hadevarim asher tziva Adonai lasot lahem. Moshe then convened all of the Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. Sheshet yamim tasemelacha, 6 days a week work may be done. Uvayom hashvi yelachem kodesh, Shabbat shabbaton laHashem, kol haoseh bo melacha yumat. But on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." Those are the psukim that we are going to focus on. So before we get to the actual text that we're going to study, which is from the Netivot Shalom, which is now, hopefully you have that on the screen in front of you. Well, we could actually jump right to it because he mentions the questions that he wants to contend with as well right at the outset of the article. So we're right up here. Hopefully, everyone can see where I am. I'm going to annotate this. So we can see where we are. Hold on 1 second. Let's see. I'm going to use an arrow. Okay, hopefully everyone sees the arrow right there where the arrow is pointing. I'm going to unmute you to ask everyone a question. Could everyone see the arrow? Excellent. All right. What a country. Okay, here we go. So we have Vayakel Moshe. I'll move this arrow around so everyone knows where we are going to be. Okay, Shula, can you hear me? Thumbs up if you could hear me. Excellent. Okay, I could see you. Are you going to make lunch for everybody in your kitchen? Okay, here we go. Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. These are the pesukim that we started with. And then Uviyalkut Shimoni. So we have a source here, a midrash. He asks the question. He says the following fascinating statement. It's once in a while you get to a statement where someone says this applies to the whole Torah. And here's such a statement. Uviyalkut Shimoni mevi. In the Yalkut Shimoni, he brings the following. Rabotenu ba'alei agada omrim. The rabbis who explain the homiletical aspects of the Torah said the following: Mitchilat haTorah v'ad sofa, from the beginning of the Torah until the end of the Torah, ein ba parsha shenemar barosha vayakel ela zot bilvad. This is the only time in the entire Torah that the word vayakel, in terms of gathering the Jewish people, is used. Here's the pasuk one more time on the screen, right where my cursor is. Vayakel Moshe, says the midrash. This is the only time where this appears in all of the Torah. Okay, so v'yesh livaer inyana, and we have to explain this. Meaning, what's so special about what's going on in the Torah now? That the Torah uses this very strange, not strange, unique language. Okay? That is, that's the first question. Okay? Next question. Od Sarich Bior. Something else that... Something else that requires... clarification. Omro ele hadivarim asher tziva Hashem lasototam. The pasuk says these are the things that God commanded to do them. Madua ne'emar bilashon asi'a kimitzvat aseh. Again, back to the pasuk. It says right here, ele hadivarim asher tziva Hashem lasototam. These are the things that God commanded the people to do. But then, and the source that we're reading here now is the Sladim Rebbe, he asked the question, Vahare tzivam kan al hashabbat bilo ta'ase she'asar lahem kol ha'asiyot v'hamilachot. If we look back at the verse, what's the next thing that God says, the Torah says, after it tells us, these are the things that God wants you to do? It tells us that on Shabbat, we're not allowed to do things. So it's not that God is telling us things that we're allowed to do. It's that God is telling us things that we are not allowed to do. So if that's the case, why is the language at the very beginning where it says, Ela hadivarim asher tziva Hashem la'asot, that these are the things that God said we should do? That's the second question asked of the by the Sladim Rebbe. All right, I'm going to unmute. If you have a question, you could use the raise your hand. If you don't understand the question, I said you have a question, you could use the raise your hand. The raise your hand part of the of this. Let me know if you have any questions. Okay. All right. Any questions? Shula, what's your question? If I could ask everyone, if you have anything in the background, a radio, a television, please either turn it off or mute yourself by clicking mute on the box where you see yourself. Otherwise, I have to mute everybody and we can't really have a conversation. Shula, did you want to ask a question? The first question. The first question is, what's so special about what's going on in the Torah now that we use the word vayakel, which is not used anywhere else in the Torah? Okay? Okay. Back to mute. Okay. Okay. Ami? Ami? I don't want you guys sitting too close to each other. Okay? Okay, everybody. I'm back. So now the Slonim Rebbe goes on, and he is now going to attempt to answer the questions. First of all, he wants to let us know when this part of the Torah happened, because we have to remember that what's going on now in the Torah now is a little confusing as to when things happen, because we're in the section of the right after the Chet HaEgel, right after the sin of the golden calf. And so the Slonim Rebbe wants to make sure that we understand exactly what's going on now in the Torah. And so he says as follows: Vihine, where the arrow is. Vihine, Parasha zo ne'emra li Yisrael la'achar shenitpayes imahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Chet HaEgel. What's going on now is that this Torah portion is said after God had already sort of made peace, appeased himself vis-a-vis the Jewish people after they sinned with the golden calf. Kemoshe Perush Rashi, as Rashi explained, Shehayazel Macharata Kippurim Kishe'erad Minahar. This all takes place the day after Yom Kippur when Moshe comes down from the mountain and fixes everything up. Umimash Amar Lahem Parsha Zo Miyad Imriditoh Yeshlomod Shabbat Tamud Sod Hitpaisut Shalakadosh Baruchu Im Yisrael. There's a secret here, he says, hidden in these verses, and that is the secret of how to sort of make peace with God, how the Jewish people can make peace with God. Yesh Lomar Mahu HaKoach HaZeh Shehevi LePius Acher HaChet. So what was it, he wants to know, that allowed the Jewish people and God to make peace with each other after the sin of the golden calf? So he adds a third question. Again, first question is, why is the word vayakel used here and it's never used anywhere else? Two, why does God say these are the things that you have to do when in the very next verse he says these are the things you're not allowed to do, like you're not allowed to start a fire? And three, what's the secret of how a person or how the Jewish people make peace with God after they have angered him? Because that's the time frame of what's going on here. Okay? So the Slonim Rebbe is now going to reveal to us the answer to this question. V'yesh lomar ha'inyan al pi ma'da'amar b'sefer ha'kadosh Noam Elimelech. He quotes a very, very well-known Hasidic text from Elimelech of Luzhinsk, who tries to explain an interesting minhag. I wonder if anyone here has this minhag. You may have this minhag, maybe not during the year, but some people may have this minhag on Pesach. That is before the performance of a mitzvah, he says, Shebichol Pam, here's the arrow, Shebichol Pam, Sheyehudi Oseh Mitzvah, I'm sorry, Right, you may have heard this phrase, l'shem yichud kudsha brichu b'shem kol Yisrael, in the name of the unity of God and in the name of kol Yisrael. Shebichol pam sheyehudi oseh mitzvah, Hareyu mifaresh shoseh zot b'shem. Let me move my arrow up here. Sorry about that. B'shem Kol Yisrael. That there's a minhag, it's a Kabbalistic minhag, a Hasidic minhag, that before one does a mitzvah, one says that they're doing the mitzvah in the name of all the Jewish people. So, anyone have such a custom? I'm unmuting you. Anyone recognize this language? It appears in many Haggadot. Sound familiar to anybody? No? Okay, so I guess there are no Hasidim amongst you. Okay, so the Slonim Rebbe then wants to ask a question. Why? What's the purpose of saying before we do a mitzvah that I'm doing it in the name of the Jewish people? Right? Before I light Shabbat candles, I say I'm doing this mitzvah in the name of the Jewish people. Before I shake my lulav, I say I'm doing this mitzvah in the name of the Jewish people. Right? What is the purpose of that? And he explains, Umivaer, the beautiful idea. Ki hayachid levado eich yachol lekayem mitzvah. He says, how can an individual perform a mitzvah? Shrei adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechateh. He quotes the verse in Kohelet. We're all sinners. No, nobody's perfect, right? We all sin. V'achar shechata eich yachol lekayem mitzvah ba'otam ha'ivarim shepagam bahem. This is a little bit of a harsh idea, but it's interesting, right? Once I've sinned, how could I then go ahead and use the same body that I sinned with to perform a mitzvah? It's like I go rob a bank, and then I go give the money to tzedakah. It's what we call in Hebrew, mitzvah haba be'avera, right? It's a halachic term, mitzvah haba be'avera, a mitzvah that comes from a sin, right? So like the example I gave, I steal something, it's like Robin Hood. Right, I steal from the rich and give to the poor. It's still stealing, and it's still a mitzvah haba b'avera. So he says, really what the Slonim Rebbe is saying, it's actually a radical idea. Every mitzvah is a mitzvah haba b'avera. Every mitzvah has a tinge in it. I think I see Shula's cringing. There's a little bit of a stain because the very vessel by which we're using. With which we're using to do the mitzvah has also sinned, of course. So how can we do that? Ve'ech tishre hakidusha al otam ha'ivarim shishtamesh bahem neged ritzon Hashem yitbarach. So how could the sanctity that we get from doing a mitzvah rest on the very same entity that sinned? Now, this is a sort of a Kabbalistic Hasidic question. In sort of non-Kabbalistic terms, we would simply say, yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way God made us. And God recognized that we're not imperfect. And despite the fact that we're imperfect, God still wants our mitzvot. Right? That's sort of a traditional answer to this question. It reminds me of the famous Midrash where the Malachim, right, the angels did not want God to give the Jewish people the Torah. I think we may have studied this Midrash. And they say, how could you give... Almost taking the position of the Rebbe here, the angels say, how could you give human beings the Torah? Human beings steal, they cheat, they lie, right? There, you should give us the Torah. We're perfect, and we'll do the Torah. And so God turns to Moshe and says to Moshe, okay, Moshe, explain to the Malachim, right? Tell the Malachim why it is that... that I should give you the Torah. And at first Moshe has answered, but God says, don't worry, I'll protect you. And Moshe says, well, what does it say in the Torah? It says, don't steal. He says to the angels, do you have a desire to steal? It says, don't commit adultery. Do you have a desire to commit adultery? It says, don't do this and don't do that. And do you have a desire to do this? Do you have a desire to do that? And then God says, see, Moshe, you answered them properly, and God gives Moshe the Torah. Point being, that we know that we're imperfect, God knows we're imperfect, and nonetheless he gives us the Torah. So that's just to be able to answer the question in a fundamental way. But now back to the assumption of the Slonimer Rebbe here, which I think is interesting, right? What are we supposed to do with this problem that we're imperfect, and how do we do mitzvot? So the answer, according to him, Achen yeshno olam hanikra kol Yisrael. There's this mystical, conceptual world of kol Yisrael, all of Israel. Sheba olam hazeh, shel klalut Yisrael, ein magia shum chet upesha. When it comes to the Jewish people are perfect. It's interesting. Jewish individuals are imperfect. But the Jewish nation, Am Yisrael, unblemished, perfect. Right? We saw something like this a few weeks ago when we were studying, I think, Parsha Truma, where we talked about the idea that ultimately not every individual, factually, not every individual could do every mitzvah, right? Certain mitzvah only apply to men, certain mitzvah only apply to women, certain to Kohanim, certain to Leviim, certain if you're only living in Eretz Yisrael, right? So not everyone could do every mitzvah, but all of us together, right? Hopefully we're able to, when all the Jews join together and we all see ourselves as one unit, so then we are all performing the mitzvot together. So similarly here, he says, there's this idea of the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, that is protected from sin. Meaning even if individuals sin, it does not hurt the klal. It does not hurt the group of Jews. Bebechinat mamar hakatuv va'amech kulam tzadikim. The Torah says, your nation, they are all righteous. Shekasher va'amech kulam kol haklal Yisrael muchad yachad. When the Jewish people are all joined together, azai kulam tzadikim. Then they are all perfect. They are all, righteous, pious. Sins only apply, I'm sorry, here's the arrow. Sins only apply to individuals. Shekol prat chote bifnei atzmo. Every individual sins on their own. Ach b'chalut Yisrael ein chet. When it comes to the conceptual idea of the Jewish people, there's no sin. The Ein Shilton Hasitra Acha Sholet Ilahem. And the Yetzer Hara, right, does not have any power over the Jewish people as a whole. V'lachein, Kasher Yehudi Nigash L'Kayem Mitzvah Harei Omer B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Therefore, he explains this custom. When a Jewish person comes to do a mitzvah, he does it in the name of all the Jewish people. The Kolel Atzmo B'Chalut Yisrael. And that includes himself in that group. Sh'az Ein Chet V'Ein Pesha U'B'Kochol L'Kayem Mitzvah. So, because there is no sin and there's no problems with the person, and so therefore they are able to perform the mitzvah. Okay, so that is just the explanation of this idea of what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. And now he's going to answer his other questions. But I see Shula, did you have a question? Ah, excellent. That's right. We daven, right? Yes, that's why we should. This is when I read this, I thought to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't teach this because it's all about the importance of being together. And look at us. We're all separate. We're all in our own living rooms with our own cameras. And we can't come together for davening. We can't come together for learning. But I said, in the end, I thought, you know what? It's a beautiful idea. And it'll remind us that when the time comes, how important it is for us to be together and not to learn to enjoy this existence, this virtual existence, too much. We all need personal contact. So yes, Shuli, you're right. That's why we daven. The same idea that when I'm davening, I could concentrate, I don't know, for 10% of the time, and someone else for 10% of the time, and someone else for 10% of the time, and hopefully all of us together, I concentrated for 2 brachot, and you concentrated for 3 brachot, and someone else concentrated for 5 brachot. So hopefully, by the time we put it all together, we're able to offer up a full tefillah. It's the exact same idea, Shula. Yes, 100%. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Okay. So now the Shlomo Rebbe goes on. He says as follows, where the arrow is. V'zu haita b'sura HaTova Shebasar Lehem Moshe LeYisrael B'Ridatom Nahar. This is the good news that Moshe brought to the Jewish people when he came down from the mountain. Excuse me, what happened here? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu ne'ater l'bakashato she'cheta egel lo yitiaches el haklal Yisrael liyot nechshav she'aklal chet, she'aklal chata. God agreed not to attach the sin to all the to the nation of Israel, ela kechet shel kol yachid pratu prat b'fnei atzmo. Whoever participated, they were guilty. Aval haklal Yisrael nishar b'tzidkato. Remember what happened. What did God want to do after the chet ha'egel? Right? Anyone? I'm going to unmute. What did God want to do after the sin of the golden calf? What did he tell Moshe? Anybody remember? Right, exactly, Zach. He said, I'm going to wipe everybody out. I'm going to start a scratch with you. Meaning, at first, God, so to speak, was going to attach the sin to all of the Jewish people. And Moshe says, no, I don't accept that. If that's what you're going to do, mecheni na misifrecha asher katavta, erase me also from the book that you wrote. So says the Sanhedrin Rabbi, back in our text, God agreed. It was only going to be individuals who sinned. Umikoach zeh nitpayes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael. That's the secret. That's the secret of finding God's favor. V'zehu vayakel Moshe. Moving down to the next. Oh, I'm going to have to start a new arrow. Hold on one second. That is the secret, says the Slonim Rebbe. Got my fun arrow again here. Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael. That's why he had to collect everybody. Shehudia lahem et achidush hazeh sheyesh olam shel klal Yisrael asher l'sham lo hegiu achet. Moshe was teaching the Jewish people something at that point. If you want to know the secret of our spiritual survival, it's unity. Mikoach zeh nitpayes HaKadosh Baruch Hu imam al chet ha'egel. And once God saw that they were all together, then God, in fact, accepted them and was willing to forgive them. I figured I'll change the color just for fun. Ooh, ma'asehu harishon shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom beridito minahar haya vayakel Moshe. The very first thing that Moshe did when he came down from the mountain was to collect everybody. Lahakilam ulaachdam yachad, to join them together, to create unity. Shezu haita hakapara al maseh egel. That is the essence of being forgiven for the chet ha'egel. V'al pizeh, al pi lashon hapasuk v'yomer alehem el adim asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam. That answers the other question. What does it mean? These are the things that God said you should do. While in the very next verse, he says you shouldn't do these things, meaning you should keep Shabbos and not start a fire. So he says, Dikai al vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. He's going back. He's saying, you're right. This is what you should do. In the future, if there's ever a problem like this, you should do this. Vayakel. You should actively go out and gather everyone together. Haynu shezot tziva Hashem itbarach lasot kedei lechaper al masa ha'egel. This is what you should do if you want to find favor in me, to find forgiveness for the sin of the Egel. Go and collect everyone together. Sheyit yachadu yachad. They will join together. V'kol echad yichlol et atzmo b'chalut Yisrael. Everyone should include themselves. She'az yitkaper avonam. And then their sin will be forgiven. V'zehu perush la'asot otam. That's what it means. Let me go back and I'll show you the verse again. Here it is. Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael, vayomer aleihem, ele hadivarim asher tziva Hashem lasot otam. Moshe collected everyone and said, this collection of us, this unity that we're showing here, this is what God has commanded us to do. The next pasuk is not connected. The next pasuk is a separate topic. This first pasuk is a story. This first verse, verse 1, right? Is a story in and of itself, that this is what God wanted Moshe to do in order to achieve forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf. V'zeo perish lasot otam, she'asiya hi litached yachad od Yehudim v'lechlol et atzmo b'chal Yisrael, to collect all the Jews and to include yourself in the Jewish people. Okay. Okay. Now, let's just look at one other point on the bottom here. I'll drag my. Well, I'm going to stop here and see if there are any questions. I'm going to unmute and see if there are any questions. Okay, everyone's unmuted. Are there any questions on that or comments? Yes, Zach, go ahead. Ah, okay. So, Zach, thank you very much. That's a beautiful comment. And you are actually, you preempted what the Shlomo Rebbe is going to say next. So let's get right to it. Because he says, I'm going to put everyone on mute again. He says as follows. He says, right over here, V'zeh inyan bet ha-mitzvot she-tzivah lehem b'parsha zo. This notion of the importance of unity is also tied in to two of the two mitzvot that are in this section of the Torah, Shabbat u'Maaseh HaMishkan, just like you said, Zach, Shabbos and the Mishkan, Shehem Inyanim HaShayachim L'Chlal Yisrael. Those are mitzvot that connect to all the Jewish people. Mitzvat Shabbat Shayachet L'Chlal Yisrael. The mitzvah of Shabbat is for all the Jewish people. Kishomrim Chazal Chachamein Zuchan Levracha, Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shabbat, Knesset Yisrael hi ben zugcha. Right? That the famous midrash that Shabbos and the Jewish people are married to each other. Uperushu Rabotenu HaKadoshim, our rabbis have explained, Knesset Yisrael heim mashi yudim mitkansin yachad b'achdut halavavot. Knesset Yisrael, this phrase right here, Rabbi Soloveitchik talked about this phrase often, represents the body of the Jewish people. When we are united, then we are the bride, if you will, the spouse of Shabbos. An individual doesn't have the, I guess, holiness privately to be the spouse of Shabbat. And alone, we can't really appreciate the holiness of Shabbat. Rak mikoach Knesset Yisrael. Now, by the way, this doesn't have to be looked at as a mystical idea, as a very practical idea, which we're seeing. Shabbat is very hard when you're doing it alone. It doesn't have the same feeling when you don't go to shul and see everybody, right? It's not the same. So even though I think the Shlomo Rebbe means this in a more sort of mystical way, I think we see it now ourselves, and we recognize the importance of being together. Sheyehudim meuchadim yachad umitkalal. Umitkalalim bichlalut Yisrael and include themselves in the Jewish people. Ayadeze yicholim heim lihiyot bechinat ben zug lakadosh baruch hu the Shabbat Kodesh. Then we could be God's the spouse of Shabbat. Lekabel et kol arot haShabbat. And that's when we were able to really appreciate and gain all of the enlightenment that comes with Shabbat. Mitam ze kohech miru b'tenu hakadoshim b'inyan Shabbat shevet achim gan yachad b'Shabbat Kodesh. That's why the rabbis really focused on being together on Shabbat. De hakli l'Shabbat Kodesh u'kineshet Yisrael sherak al yedei ze Efshar lehasig harot v'kedushat haShabbat. Then he goes on to say the same thing about the Mishkan, that the Mishkan was built with the shared funds of all the Jewish people, right? And he says, there may have been one Jew who was rich enough to build the entire Mishkan, but God didn't want that. God wanted everyone to join together in building the Beit HaMikdash. That's why it's so important here, and the word vayakel is used, because it's telling us these yesodot, these fundamental foundational points. One, that the way that we are able to really achieve forgiveness and connection to God is through being part of Klal Yisrael. And by the way, Rabbi Soloveitchik, it just occurred to me just now, makes the very, very same point in Al HaTshuva, in his essays on repentance, he says that sometimes he loses faith in the Jewish people, but he ultimately comes back to realize, see if I have it here. I don't think I have it here. I'm just looking at my Rabbi Soloveitchik section. Because it's a beautiful idea that he has about the notion that the Jewish people is what helps us achieve kapara on Yom Kippur. And the other yesod here is that Shabbos and the Mishkan are both klal mitzvot, mitzvot of the Jewish people coming together, and that's why they are so powerful, and that's why they are so important. Actually, I'm going to check one source to see if I could find this thing from the Rav. Hold on. Okay, I'm just going to see maybe if I could quickly find it here. Hold on. No, I can't find it. But Rabbi Soloveitchik says something very, very similar. So those are the ideas that I wanted to share today, this notion of why the Torah here uses Vayakel, what the importance of that language is, answers the other question, why it speaks in positive language, even though it seems like it's telling us not to do things. And in fact, it's actually telling us to do something. If we want to achieve our own personal kapara, our personal forgiveness and closeness to God, we best do it joined to all of Am Yisrael. Okay, everybody, I'm going to unmute if anyone has any last comments or anything to say, and if not, I will wish you all a good day and remind you of a few important things. One is make sure you're getting some exercise. Even if you're stuck inside, you can go for a walk, just don't kiss anybody while you're out there. You should also be getting fresh air. Make sure you're eating right. Make sure you're talking to friends, whether on the telephone or through some other means. If you need any help with anything, we have a wonderful chesed committee headed by Doreen Lerner, and we're checking in on everyone to make sure everyone's okay. If you need anything, you should let us know. If anyone is interested, every morning at 7 a.m., I know that's early, but at 7 a.m. we do our virtual tefillah. You could use the same Zoom link that you used to get on today to join that. And on Friday, we're going to have a pre-Shabbat story time and a virtual Kabbalat Shabbat. But I'll send out more information about that. Oh. Please, Zach, please go ahead. Yeah. Thank you. Interesting. Explain that, the connection to physics, one more time. Right, very nice. Beautiful. Right. Okay. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. Okay. Everybody, thank you again for joining. I know this is not the same. It's a little hard for us all, but thank you for being good sports and trying. And I hope to see you all in person very, very soon. But again, until then, if anyone has any needs or any questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to be in contact with me. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Have a wonderful day.